Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Anyway, in this video, welcome back to my channel. I hope it didn't cut off the first bit. In this video, I should be talking about Donald J. Trump, the quondam, but not the future president of the United States of America. Methinks he shan't be president again, and the indictments have much to do that with that. He probably wasn't going to be president again anyway. Only one ever president has lost the presidency and then come back to regain it. And that was Grover Cleveland in the 1890s. In 1896, if memory serves, is when he staged his comeback after one term out of office. So President Trump has been indicted, if my computation is correct, on 91 charges. And if you've got the maximums, if he's convicted of all of them, got the maximum sentence of all of them, it'd be something like 9 centuries behind bars. It's risible. But it's unlikely he'd be convicted of all of them, or maybe even most of them. But I can't think of anyone who's ever faced anything like 91 different charges and been acquitted of every single one. So the idea that he won't be convicted of something is almost inconceivable. So the Department of Justice, and they painstakingly amass the evidence, and they're quietly confident that they have assembled an absolutely irrefutable case, that it's just watertight. He's bound to be convicted. Now, the fly in the ointment is the odd Trumpster on the jury, because I think I'm correct in saying that only if one juror votes not guilty, then that'd be it. I know judges like to have a unanimous verdict this way, that way. There can be a hung jury. But so we'll probably have a few of these things, be acquitted of a few of these things. And he's not plea bargained anything. You might know in the United States, both at state level and federal level, the sentences tend to be very long compared to other Western European countries, which is why so many people plea bargain will agree to plead guilty to a minor charge and have a light sentence in return for most of the charges being dropped. But Trump, he's doubled down as usual, and he's pleaded not guilty to everything. He was arraigned in Georgia just today, if I got that right, and he pleaded not guilty to all charges. Now, Georgia is a notoriously unforgiving state with a very punitive attitude, certainly the Republican Party in Georgia. I know the Democrats are slightly on the up there these days, and the Republican Party generally has a carceral policy. It wants to turn each state into a carceral state and the USA as a whole into a carceral sovereign state, given the United States leads the world in prison population, both per capita and in absolute terms. Over 3 million Americans deprived of their liberty, and about a third of those for possession of certain substances, drugs. But when one of their own has his collar felt, despite the mountain of irrefragable evidence, the Republicans throw the toys out the pram. They can't take it. How dare anyone believe that there's equal justice before law? How dare anyone think that a Republican has to obey the law as well? How dare anyone say that there's such a thing as personal responsibility, or that actions have consequences, or that the Constitution ever ought to be upheld? And Ben Shapiro was saying that, you know, he published his book, The People of Against Barack Obama, saying that Barack Obama ought to be imprisoned for supposedly his offenses as in the presidency. His presidency, but now saying that Donald Trump, that is really the end of American democracy if that President Trump is held to account for his manifold crimes. Well, you can't have it both ways. Obama's was never charged with anything. Now, obviously, charges don't prove that Trump's guilty, but very, very strongly suggests it. Time will tell. We shall see. And, you know, this is a man who we know has told over 20,000 lies, or made 20,000 misleading statements on the record whilst in office. I mean, his lies would just fill many volumes. But nevertheless, he's on course to be the Republican Party's nominee, just well ahead of the person in second place, which is Ron DeSantis. They now think that Vivek Ramaswamy would be Trump's running mate, probably an inspired choice. I can tell you one thing for certain: it ain't going to be Mike Pence. They fell out very badly. Mike Pence, absolute scumbag in many ways, but perhaps for selfish reasons, he nevertheless made the right decision on January 6th. Said, no, we're sticking to the Constitution. We're not going to subvert democracy. We lost the election. We have to tell the truth about that. We have to effectuate the smooth and peaceful and lawful transition of power to the incoming administration led by Joseph Robinette Biden. And had Pence gone the other way, that putsch might even have succeeded. Anyway, so Trump being arraigned and all these charges. But the one thing is that the charges in Georgia usually have a minimum sentence, like a 5 years. Convicted of even one of them, that's 5 years behind bars there. I remember those are state charges, like the New York charges are state charges. Admittedly, the New York ones are actually seem to be quite trifling, and it's improbable he'd be imprisoned, even if found guilty in the state of New York, because he's got no previous convictions, and they'll not probably be the aggravating factors of what actual victims. So community service or fines and stuff like that. But he wouldn't be able to pardon himself from those ones either, because those are state charges as opposed to federal charges. Pardon himself if he becomes president again, which is unlikely. So remember, about 50% of Americans are independents, as in to say they're not registered supporters of either Democrats or the Republicans. Incidentally, if you're a registered Democrat, doesn't mean you're a member of the party, simply you're registered as a supporter. Same is true of the Republicans. But although only 50% of people are registered as a supporter of a party, of those who vote is much higher, like 75%, because the independents are less likely to vote. Some of them because they can't make up their minds, others of them because they're apathetic or frankly ignorant, and they're therefore less likely to vote. So you've got to motivate people who are inclined your way anyway to vote. But obviously, the independents are vital, these swing voters. Whilst it may be firing up the Republican base, it's putting all these indictments, it's very much putting off the independents. But however enthusiastic you are for Trump, you can only vote for him once. Say, as a reflection of my fervor for Trump, can I vote for him two or three times? No, you can't. But so I think it's really the enthusiasm this generates amongst diehard Republicans is negated by the way it switches off so many independents, some of whom would otherwise vote Donald Trump. So remember, Trump got 47% of the votes last time, and Biden got 51.5% of the vote. So won by a margin of 4.5 percentage points, and was at 7 million votes, and a high turnout actually, just after coronavirus. So the turnout might be a bit lower, as in the economy won't be suffering so badly, and the result might be a bit more obvious, and there won't be some of a crisis like coronavirus. I mean, who can tell? Something could happen. I mean, the Ukraine war could turn hot, as in dragging in more countries by that time. You know, as the British Prime Minister Harold Wilson said, a week is a long term in politics, in which case over a year is practically an eternity. So anything can happen at backgammon. But yeah, it's a racing certainty that Biden, should he be alive and in reasonable health, will be wheeled out as the Democrats' next candidate. And remember, his approval ratings are dreadful. I think only one president's ever had a rating so low as him at this stage in the electoral cycle, gone on to be reelected, and that was Ronald Reagan, a Republican, in 1984. So it's going to be tough for him to pull out the bag. And actually, Trump is a bit of a gift to him, but I do think actually without Trump, the Republicans probably lose even more, because the others are rather unexciting. Ron DeSantis just doesn't have the personal touch, doesn't connect the press with the press. I mean, Trump, I mean, mortally offends the press, but he is always very newsworthy. And the others are relatively, you know, unknown. Okay, relative unknowns like Bill Clinton came through to win for the Democrats in 92. So it can be done. But if Trump is imprisoned, how on earth is he going to go around campaigning? They live for these rallies, and that will really switch people off. So that's why you think the demographics are moving the Democrats' way anyway, and people said that in 2016. So no, it doesn't guarantee victory, even though the Democrats won the popular vote for them by 2 percentage points or 3 million votes. You obviously can't take that for granted entirely. And they've got incumbency, which would boost them by maybe 1 percentage point if the economy continues to grow. I know it's not impressive, but some sort of growth, 1%, 2% a year. If inflation, what is it now, like 6%, continues to come down to maybe 4% next year, still somewhat bad, then you'd think that the Democrats would win. It's the economy, stupid. Goes back to the Democrats' slogan of 1992. That's what really matters to people, especially the Ukraine war ends. That'll be a boost to the economy. You know, oil and gas prices go down, food prices go down, ends in Ukrainian victory in particular. So obviously, the various wild card factors: is Biden going to die in office? Is Trump going to die in office? Either be incapacitated, something like that. Vivek Ramaswamy might be a clever choice for Trump, as in balance his senescence with a youthful candidate. He's often accused of racialism because he's racialist, and have an ethnic minority candidate who would be sort of a lightning conductor in that one. I can't possibly be racialist because I look at my sidekick. And someone who's highly cerebral versus a Trump who is semi-literate.
But it's hurting Trump already. And the trials are going ahead. He's likely to have at least a few verdicts by the first Tuesday, November 2024, at least a few convictions. And it might be too late to turn back. But there's really no sign that anyone's anywhere near catching him or he's going to drop out. And he might see his only way of staying out of prison as being electing president, as in to pardon himself for federal offenses. But we shall see. So he's going to be convicted a few of these and going to get some years in prison. But they say, well, how do you keep him safe in prison with the federal, he has to have all these bodyguards for life? I suppose they could just take over a wing of the prison, have him and about 20 bodyguards. Could they even build him a new prison? Something like that. I'll put him on some stockade or whatever you call it, some US military base. That might be a way to keep him safe if he were to be in prison as president. But I don't think it's going to happen. So that's why I think the Democrats, I mean, it's a very long way out to predict. So maybe it seems like a fool's errand. We'll get a bit more, like, say, 53% of the vote. With Trump as president, the Republicans have got a bit fewer than they did last time, down to about 45% of the vote, meaning the Democrats would win by a margin of about 8 percentage points, which is quite big. Which nobody won by since the 90s. Right. Thank you so much for my channel. Please subscribe on Patreon today on PayPal. Goodbye.